Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny's MCU in Review. That's right, we are ranking, reviewing, and recapping every project in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hello, Tim. Top of the morning to you.
Oh, top of the morning to you. I'm so jealous of you guys that I can't do the fun stuff. How do you do that, Nitro Rifle Andy Cortez?
I think Barrett's figuring it out right now, but a little hue shift. You just dropped the saturation. I'm using OBS virtual camera. That's how I'm in black and white for the audio listeners.
Wow.
For me, I just open up OBS and it
breaks. I was going to say, open up OBS. That's smart.
Then we have, of course, the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
So this is in the MCU? I still don't understand. Like, it was like, you know, because it starts in the beginning. They mention all the heroes, but then we're in the 20s, I think. But then it's color. I don't understand. But Man-Thing, what up?
Man-Thing, baby. So much to talk about. I guess I'm the bloodstone of this whole situation. Of course, this is Kinda Funny's MCU in Review. Every single week, we get together to rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. The MCU is where it all began, but we have done so many different franchises. And if you have ever liked a movie, not liked a movie, chances are we have reviewed, ranked, and recapped it. So go back and check that out on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to get it as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny in Review, and we will be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free and watch live as it's being recorded, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Al Tribesman, Molecule, and Fargo Brady on YouTube have done. Thank you all so very much. Today, we're brought to you by Chime and NZXT Canvas QHD monitors, but I'll tell you about that later. I want to tell you a little bit about some housekeeping, Greg. You excited for this?
I love vacuuming.
Two things I want to tell you. One, you can go to kindoffunny.com/store right now to get not only the new Kinda Funny bomber jacket, but also the Andy Cortez special work from home to IRL t-shirt. Andy, how do you feel about that shirt?
Love it. I had a lot of fun working on it. Took a while. I had to bust out the old 3D programs to get perspectives right. But yeah, I love the different color scheme. So everybody go buy it. Everybody go support that.
Definitely do that. And the bomber jacket as well. All of it is available. KindaFunny.com/store. And the bigger news next week, 1 week from today on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames at 10 a.m. Pacific, we will be launching our live stream, our marathon live stream to debut and reveal the Kinda Funny spare bedroom, the new Kinda Funny studios. We're going to be hanging out all day with a ton of special guests. It's going to be so much fun. So many shenanigans are sure to ensue. Take the day off. Come hang out with us. It is going to be an absolute blast. But enough of that. Let's get to what we're talking about today. Werewolf by Night, released on October 7th, 2022, making it the first ever Marvel Studios special presentation. We know we have one more coming up in December with the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. So more fun stuff to look forward to. This one had a runtime of 52 minutes, directed by the GOAT,
Michael Giacchino, man.
Motherfucking Giacchino, dude. Directorial debut of Academy Award winning composer Michael Giacchino. Michael Giacchino has received many awards, including an Oscar for his work on Up, an Emmy for his work on Lost, and 3 Grammys for his work on Rat-Tat-Tooie and Up. And the music for this, of course, was also done by the GOAT, Michael Giacchino. And let me just fucking say, he slayed this shit. That yes. was nasty from beginning to end. So shout out to you, Michael, in every single way.
I feel like Greg has a lot of questions about Michael Giacchino. What's going on here, Greg?
I didn't know who he was. And then you guys, okay, he did a bunch of composing on Lost and stuff. I got you.
Yeah, because this guy, because this fucking guy up here in the top right doesn't know about the in-review stuff. Mm-hmm. He's over there talking about PlayStation. He doesn't know a goddamn thing about what we do here and how much we go to the church every Sunday of Giacchino. We see
you guys do so many of these in-review shows. Just about fucking nobody cares. Rocky, get out of here. You know what I mean? Come on. Let's have some fun.
Greg, we're going to do Rambo at some point, too. There's 19 of those movies. It's great.
No, I still want to do Alien vs. Predator and we put them all together.
Greg, you should have seen my
one in his back pocket.
You should have seen my reaction, Greg, when I found out how many Rocky movies there were. Did not
was it like Kevin with Joss Whedon?
I thought those three mags. It was crazy.
Yeah. No, but Michael Giacchino, though, Greg, he is the John Williams of our time. Like, he, if there is a
John Williams still alive, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, to your point, John Williams is the John Williams of our time. But I will say, Giacchino is most notable from, do you remember the 2009 Star Trek?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it sounded like a Western. And it was fucking insane. And everyone was like, whoa, that soundtrack was great. That was the first time
Beastie
I remember.
Did he write the Beastie Boys song?
He did actually not write the Beastie Boys song.
No,
but I have it on good authority. It's one of his favorite Beastie Boys songs.
Great. Okay, cool.
Everybody gives Hans Zimmer his flowers.
Oh, my God. We don't talk about Brass Monkey enough.
We really don't.
We don't.
Hans Zimmer gets all the flowers, right? But
and DJ Junkie XL. Don't forget DJ Junkie XL.
Oh, God. That fucking song.
I can't tell what you're eating because you're in black and white, Greg. Because for a second, this is how fucked up. I thought it was two pancakes with a vinyl record in between.
It's a hamburger. He's eating a hamburger. Yeah, Greg eating a ham. That hamburger looked like the most like toy looking thing ever.
It doesn't look real, right?
Doesn't look real.
Everyone, it's a McDonald's crispy chicken sandwich. And I apologize. It's just, you know, it did not go right today for lunch. And I don't want to give you a half-assed tired in review. So I'm munching on the sandwich. But you see, I'm not like crunching into it. You know,
I'm about to eat these nuts while Tim gives the rest of that intro.
Ate a fucking pile of kidney beans with guacamole right before we went live. You're fine. I need this, Nick. Look at me. I'm wasting away over here.
That's fair. You are getting skinny.
You know, with all of that, I got through all the plot stuff or the rigmarole already. Greg, I want to start with you. What'd you think of Werewolf by Night?
Why was it going to be? It was very clear. I was eating a sandwich. Hold on.
We can start then instead with.
And I'm here. Now I swallowed. Greg, I swallowed really hard. I'm all
he's
set.
Here.
Mm-hmm. What a delightful little movie. I hope they do this every Halloween. I hope every October come around. The nice little weird one-off scary movie thing you want to do here. As everyone knows, I'm the king of Halloween. And even if you don't want to get into that bit and that whole thing we're doing, I love horror movies. And so I have a soft spot for growing up and turning on WGN, watching Svengoolie in the Chicago suburbs and watching, you know, Bela Lugosi and seeing the werewolf and Dracula movies and all that stuff. You know, I was such a huge fan of it. And so to see a modern interpretation of that and do it in black and white and have, you know, the Bloodstone have that color to it that I love so much. And then obviously at the end, even with the Wizard of Oz soundtrack there, Judy Garland playing, right, to go into color. Very cool. I thoroughly enjoyed this. You know, like we were talking about, I think, in She-Hulk yesterday for reactions. I was like, I have not kept up with this. I do not know what this is. Is it canon? Blah, blah, blah. Like, to jump into it and just have a little horror movie, I had fun with it. And again, like, I'm joking around, but I thought it was weird to reference the Avengers at the front, but then it not be in the modern timeline, or was it in the modern time? I don't think it was. Was it? Like,
it is.
I think it was. Is it?
Yeah, we don't know.
The fact that it was black and white made me think it was old. And then she was talking about dad. Always talking about her crazy aunt, and she died in the 20s. So I was like, I don't. So are we? Where is this? Then in the end, there's a payphone there next to Wolfman. So I was like, okay, I guess this is modern.
Yeah, there was also a couple of other dates in that tomb room that like one of the person died in 86, I believe, or something.
Is what I saw. So yeah, I we don't know or at least I don't know so far the exact timeline, but I don't think that this took place a long, long, long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter, right? It was just like a whatever, a call at the Avengers, but then we don't really connect it anywhere, but it doesn't matter. I don't care. Had a lot of fun with it. You know, again, growing up, and I collect comics or collected comics growing up. Like I had a bunch of Man-Thing things. Like I thought Man-Thing was cool. Like I liked the horror elements of the Marvel universe and him and Swamp Thing, which is of course DC, I know. But like, you know, having these creepy crawler dudes, I was like, oh, that's neat. So when he reached his hand around, and then I was like, is that Man Thing? I was like, this is a Man Thing movie? Fuck yes, Man Thing movie. And then his name's Ted. And it was thoroughly enjoyed. I thoroughly enjoyed myself the entire time. I think if anything, it might have dipped a little bit when it was the Monster Hunter action. When they're engaging or fighting each other in the maze, which doesn't happen often, obviously. I was just like, all right, let's get to the monster. Let's go see the thing. Let's do the thing. But I had a great time.
Next up, I want to go to Andy Cortez, who I want to apologize to. I didn't expect this to be as spooky as it ended up being. What'd you think, Andy?
I mean, honestly, it just made me want a Bloodborne type TV show. Like the concept of we're having this hunt and you are the best hunters out there. You're coming here tonight. We're competing. Some of y'all may die. You will be honored. Well, I loved this. I thought it was fucking awesome. And I loved that it wasn't all of the sort of hokey old school filmmaking stuff that we've seen from that era, because the trailer certainly was kind of painted in a way like, hey, this is going to be super true to form. And it's going to have all of the all those smash zooms and all the kind of super dramatic filmmaking tendencies that we saw back in the day. I'm glad it wasn't that. I'm glad that it was just kind of, you know, it's vintage in some ways, but it, you know, we're not doing all those sort of silly things that made us laugh about the trailer and kind of made me go, oh, I hope the whole show isn't like this. I thought it was great. I thought Giacchino absolutely killed it. I think like some of the shots and some of those cool moments where we have the long, that sort of long shot with the werewolf fighting as the door is closing. Like,
oh, yeah. Cool.
There's just a lot of really awesome framing and stuff. And you could tell he's obviously has a really good eye for what looks good on camera. I had a blast with it. I legitimately loved it. Even when we got to the hunting parts between all the heroes, it was just immediately intriguing. They set up this world. These characters that you've known for 4 minutes, I'm immediately in. They give you enough of what you need to know about them and their kind of their complex relationships. And I just thought they did a really good job with it. I thought Giacchino absolutely killed it. And seeing his excellence, Gael Garcia Bernal, I mean, it's a tragedy this show was in black and white because we didn't get to see his beautiful green blue eyes.
Or his peppered hair, which we see at the end.
Yeah. Which is nice. Yeah. He's always been this great standout actor. And I, before even knowing he was in Werewolf by Night, I was like, we got to get him in a show. And like, you're like, he is in one. I'm like, oh shit, awesome. I loved him. I loved kind of the smaller, cuter moments of dialogue that he had. I thought the show was great. Highly recommend it.
Nick Scarpino.
Yeah, I'm right there with everyone. I love, first off, I'm a sucker for a Halloween movie. I think it was perfectly timed. I hope they do this with every season. Oh, hold on one thing. Ah, thank you. I thought it was really fun. It makes me really excited for the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special that we're going to get. I hope it's in the same vibe.
Right.
I thought the casting of this was super fun. Perfectly timed, of course, right at the beginning of October, right when I start watching, of course, all of my Halloween movies and you know, making my wife suffer through all those as well. I thought the casting was great. I want to give a shout out to the aunt who I was trying to, for the longest time, pull where she was from. Like, I know her. I've seen her in a bunch of stuff. But where is she from?
And you then mean I was the like, stepmom?
The stepmom, excuse me. And then I was like, you know what? I remember her from, see if you can guess it, Greg.
Well, because I remember her from Memento, where she was the insulin. Oh. She needed the insulin, and the guy who had it early and killed his wife, that was her.
Wow. Oh. Interesting. No, my touchstone was, she was recently on Hacks, which was interesting. And then, if I'm not mistaken, I think she was in Adam's Family. I think she was the one that was the therapist for Fester and brought him back in, but was actually his partner in crime.
That sounds familiar.
I could be maybe wrong. Anyway, she was great.
No, wait.
The leads were great. Casting was fantastic. Minor criticisms, suffers from a little bit of a budget. Would have liked the maze to have not felt like it's the exact same set every single time they walked back into it. Not quite sure who cast the butler guy. He was a little weird, a little too hammy.
Turning the thing.
Yeah, well, he was just like, he was a little too theater for me. I was like, you kind of take me out of the action here, buddy.
For me, he reached back to like, you know, like the Frankenstein movie, right? And having that Igor character who's going to be weird. Yeah, you're right about Adam's Family.
It's not that. It's just he was like, for whatever reason, I think he was just like a little too overdone. It kind of took me out every time he was there. I think I would have liked to have had him be a little bit more reserved, but I mean, it builds.
What if we got the
overall
butler from Spider-Man? Or
it reminds me of Bernard. Excuse me,
Bernard. Yes.
Call him by his name.
Get his right name.
Also, you know where else we know her from? Because she's a character actor. We've seen her around in a lot of different things. Frasier. She was Bebe Glazier.
Not Mimi. Yeah. She played an agent. Bebe. That's right. Bebe.
Yeah,
Bebe. That's hilarious.
No, Andy hit the song.
Really, really fun.
Again, baby, I hear the
blues. Chicken salads and Tim scrambled eggs. Nick, did you see the news that Frasier is getting a sequel series?
Perfect. That's what we need. Is it again Frasier going to another town and leaving his child behind?
I don't know.
Frasier
no
interview.
Idea.
Let's go.
Yeah.
His kid's gonna be 20 and just really hates him. He's like, every time you go someplace, it's not to me.
20.
No. What wasn't he a baby back in the 90s?
He's gonna be like pushing 30 to mid. Yeah, Frederick was young.
Right.
But
you know what? You don't have to. Hey, Captain Semantics, it's a reality calling. I understand where we're at. No, I like this a lot, guys.
Go fuck
like
yourself.
Fucking get me some fries, you piece of shit.
Can you guys imagine that the next time we do this show, it's gonna be at a desk together?
I'm gonna fucking eat all of Greg's French fries when he's not looking. Tim, what did you think of this?
I loved this, guys. Wow. What a freaking cool ass impressive thing that the MCU just pulled out of its ass at phase four, right? Like, this is one of those rumored projects that we've heard about for a very long time, but it's always been like this weird, whoa, Michael Giacchino's directing it? Like, what's that even going to be? It sounded like a pure passion project, and it's rare that we get those in the MCU so far, and like this especially being a special presentation, the first of its kind, like, I think this is setting a really, really good precedent for what these can be. Like, imagine, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little, but imagine if they use these to build out the X-Men eventually, and we get like one-off specials about the origins of Cyclops and Storm and all that stuff to then build towards something else, or things like that. I feel like there's just limitless potential for really cool opportunities for a 50-minute project that I think really used its runtime well to kind of introduce a world and another sector of the MCU that feels like it makes sense. There's monsters, and it's like, cool, they're now here. Eventually, we're going to see the ramifications of that in the wider MCU. But for now, I thought that this was just such a fun standalone story that, to Andy's point, was less corny than I expected it to be in terms of presentation, and was actually a lot scarier than I expected, and the violence level was extremely high,
awesome. Right,
for Marvel. And I think that it really comes back to the idea that Michael Giacchino directed this with sound as such a motivator for the momentum of it all.
Incredible.
And there was so much great use of instruments and diegetic sound, like the tuba on fire walking, like all that these just cool. Like really cool moments. But the use of silence,
so
throughout.
Cool about that, guys. That's what we used to do at marching band back.
Yeah,
day.
Hell
like,
yeah,
that motherfucker on fire, put him on
exactly
stage.
Who could forget? I've seen I saw the legend perform many times.
But the surprising use of silence throughout this whole thing, where we get the quieter moments, a lot of sneaking sections, a lot of them in the maze kind of like sneaking around, and there's like no sound at all happening. And then the score will kick in. I mean, even just the Marvel Studios intro, they went so hard on having that just be like bombastic and dark and eerie and like set the tone for what's going down. And I think that Giacchino did such a great job of kind of directing this as a music video, almost, where it was just like this like really long, like almost like thriller like thing for Michael Jackson, but kind of using the sound to be the key pace indicator for the entire thing. And I think it allowed to blend with the style of the black and white choices to kind of create something that is more than just, oh, it's just a filter. It's like the use of black and white allowed the violence to stand out in a way we haven't seen before, where we see the blood splatter and it like it really has this visceral reaction that you're just like, oh shit, like this doesn't seem like normal MCU stuff. And if it was in color, I don't think it would have had the same effect of like there is blood gushing out of this guy, like chopping his hand off and then spitting him up, and you just see the blood like splurting awesome. Out everywhere. It's like using his own hand to shoot himself. Like
that was cool.
Shit was awesome. Greg, you had your hand raised.
Yeah, to talk about the black and white and how well it was used, like I really loved the entire scene of Jack being forced to turn, then exploding out from the fog, being there. And they did, you know, I'm not gonna lie, they stole this from Batman v Superman, but I'll allow it. But Wolfman up there on the wall like this or whatever, and I saw him obviously on top of the other monsters that had been slain in the trophies, but then it was that, like, when they wanted us to see him, his eyes caught like a dog's eyes in the light, and I was like, that is fucking awesome. And then he came down on top of people. That was rad.
I want to, Tim, I want to riff off your point though. I think it's such an interesting combination having the director also be a very, very, very great musician and do the soundtrack as well. That was very special. It was very different. So a lot of those music cues are really, I haven't seen something like that in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
But that, along with the shout out that I want to give to the choreography of this, which I mean, you don't think that specials like this, which, you know, for all intents and purposes are kind of TV specials, you don't think it's going to be that they're going to come that hard. But there's a moment where she's fighting the dude with the hand arrows, and she like flips her body up first and then rolls instead of getting up. And it was just so creative. And then there's another moment that stood out to me was when the person falls on her blade and she just goes whick and cuts his throat. That I was like, wow, this is really good, man. This is shot very well. It's moving along at a fast clip, and I really enjoyed it. And the use of the word named Ted was very inspired.
Yeah. Gotta love that. I want to get to the plot, but before we do that, let's take a word from our sponsors. Shout out to NZXT Canvas Gaming Monitors. We are huge fans of NZXT here at Kinda Funny. And I gotta say, these monitors, they're Andy Cortez approved, Kevin Coelho approved, and Tim Geddes approved because of their sweet 1440p resolution with 165 hertz refresh rate and 1 millisecond response hits. That sweet spot for gamers due to the balance of picture and performance. And now available in a 1080p 240 hertz version for the most competitive of gaming situations. They're available in 27-inch and 32-inch curved displays, variable refresh rate support for all of the major GPUs. You can get the monitor just alone, you can get it with a stand, or you can get it with some pretty cool mounts. There's built-in software support with NZXT Cam that lets you control all your monitor settings directly on your PC. No need to mess with the clunky hardware menus to lock in your desired settings. They thought of it all. It's sold exclusively on NZXT.com. You can learn more about the NZXT FHD Canvas Gaming Monitors at NZXT.co/KFGFHD. That's NZXT.co/KFGFHD. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I don't think so. At Chime, that's exactly what they do. With their secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start to build credit with your own money. All of this with no annual fees, large security deposits, or credit checks to apply. You can start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. You can get started at chime.com/KFGames. That's chime.com/KFGames. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank NA pursuant to a license from Visa, U.S. say Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary and some user scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply except at MoneyPass ATMs in a 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Get your credit journey started with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes, doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/KFGames. Andy Cortez, you ready?
Kind of.
He did the plot. He did the monster plot. The monster plot. He did the monster plot. He did the plot. He did the monster plot. The monster plot.
That's a major note.
And what's up, everybody? Welcome. Welcome to Werewolf by Night, your MCU in review recap. Also, how quickly was the turnaround in the MCU in review opening that we did in Black and White?
Oh, Cameron Kennedy sent me that weeks ago. Once he saw the trailer, he's like, bro, I just knew.
He loved it. Okay, great.
He just knew, man. Shout out to Cameron Kennedy, man. Go.
I have bad news, y'all. Tichino. Ulysses Bloodstone is dead. Just like Batman. And so he's dead, and that means his Bloodstone artifact is up for grabs. And, of course, he uses it to go monster hunting. I'll tell you what. I've never watched a show. And this is fucked up to think about. because I love The Witcher on Netflix, right? But I've never watched a show that made me go, man, I got to go back to The Witcher 3. Because this entire show, I'm like, fuck, this is like The Witcher 3. Yeah? This sounds awesome. I'm going to go back.
Okay. I got Castlevania. It's funny. Andy got Bloodborne. I got Castlevania. And you got Witcher from it.
But... Well, Andy only knows Bloodborne. Mm. And Andy, if you ask Andy to talk about a video game, it's going to be Bloodborne, Overwatch, or some pornography.
Hyper Light Drifter.
Oh, yeah. Higher Light Drifter.
Pornography game is the third one you went with.
I didn't want to name it. I don't want to give it free advertisement.
But I see ads for those all the time. I'm like, is this the time I click?
Can you beat this game before you come? That's what they all say. Jesus. And I'm like, I bet I can. I bet I'm not going to click on it, but I bet I can. I'm pretty good at games. Anyways. Werewolf by Night. You get a spooky, yeah, you get the special presentation screen, and you're like, oh, that's cool, that's different. Then you get the MCU thing, but then it goes black and white, and then it's got slashes, and it's the music gets all wobbly because it's old-timey music because they're referencing the Bela Lugosi stuff. And you're like, this is fucking dope as hell. And so then we start, and yeah, we get the Avengers, and the narrator's talking about, hey, the Avengers, they're a thing that's happening. That's pretty cool. But guess what? There's also monsters you don't know about. And I'm like, yeah, monsters. And so this is where they, of course, break the news, of course. Ulysses Bloodstone has died. His Bloodstone, which is not a very inventive, you know. I almost took notes. I'm like, oh, Ulysses Bloodstone. Then he's got this thing. What's that called? Oh, the Bloodstone. I'm like, oh, okay.
Bloodstone. Well, yeah.
I'm really taking notes on that, I guess.
It's chaos magic, baby.
He's like, all right, cool. You got this thing, and it can, you know, fight the monsters, and it does stuff to the monsters, and you need it if you're going to be the king monster hunter. And so now all these different monster hunters are coming to Ulysses' pad, and they're going to fight for it and figure out who gets this. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is neat. And then you get this, like, Greg Miller, they should have sent a poet to watch this movie, because mm-hmm. this is just a beautiful shot of we like swoop in on this like dome thing that looks like the Griffin Observatory in L.A. But it's way bigger, and it's way cooler, and it's black and white. And we go there, and then the camera comes down, and we land on Jack, who we don't know yet, but he's got stuff on his face. And he walks in. You're like, this guy seems out of place. But as he walks in, the camera like spins around, and it's playing this music, and there's like a woman going, ah! And I'm like, did she beat the game before she came? Nick, what do you got?
I wanted to just go back to that shot. That first wide shot was great. And what I think, I don't know if they did this on purpose or not, but it looked like a matte painting. And so as the camera moved, it looked like you would film a matte painting. Like it didn't look digital. Actually, they made it look like an old school, like 1930s, 1940s matte painting. I thought it was really cool.
Real quick, Greg, to your point about Bloodstone being a little on the nose for a name. Andy Cortez, do you have any guesses? I don't think they said it in the show, but do you have any guesses as to what Jack's last name is?
Skellington.
Is it like wolf in Spanish?
It's Russell, as in Jack Russell Terrier.
Terrier? Oh, God.
Because he turns into a wolf. It.
I mean, he spoke a bit of Spanish. Ones. Why is it Russell?
It's Jack Russell, dude.
That would have been Jack Lobo or some shit.
Anyway, back to the plot.
So Jack's wandering around, and he's bebopping and scatting around the room, and he's looking at all these monsters' heads up there, and they got a Bigfoot, and they got a Batman.
walks in like sucks. Jim Carrey walks in at Ace Ventura.
They got an Aquaman up there. They got all sorts of shit on the walls, and then they got the casket over there with the big old hand and the big old sword. And eventually, this Scottish bloke, he comes over, and he's all like, oi, matey, you know what I mean? Like, what's yours, your shtick? I've got a bunch of kills. Yeah, what do you got for me?
Great mullet this guy's got on him.
Yeah.
Great,
yeah, sure. Yeah.
He's got the cool scar, too. He's got, like, a scar across his face, you know what I mean? Because these guys are monsters. They're witchers.
Yeah.
They're witchers, y'all. You know? But he asks Jack, you know, any of yours up here? And Jack's like, no. And he's like, but I have fought that guy many a times. And he points at the vampire guy. I'm like, all right, I see something's up with this Jack fella. Okay, cool. But then, you know, the Scottish guy, he's a little braggadocious about what's going
on.
Real
quick, rumors were that Blade was going to have an appearance in this. Obviously, nice. That didn't happen. So I wonder if that's because of the director dropping out and all the stuff going on with Blade. But originally, Blade was going to be part of this, which is cool to think
about. Was that confirmed or just the rumor?
Well, there was rumors, but it's the type of rumors that, like, there was, like, substantial evidence to back it up. Gotcha. Like Mahershala Ali being seen on sets and things like that. So,
damn, that cool. Nick, there's part of me that really wants my first tattoo ever, maybe on the back of my neck, possibly forehead.
Yeah, forehead.
Daywalker.
Connect it.
Oh. Badass.
Right?
<That's> so badass.
Right? Can you imagine if Andy got a tattoo that said Daywalker?
Like down my arm, like shoulder to elbow, Daywalker. That'd be so cool.
So the Scottish guy's got a bunch of kills.
Maybe like Night Sleeper.
They talk about how like Ulysses is the best to do it, man, and it's cool that he got us all together and yada 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 yada. And then Ulysses' wife was mourning at the casket, and then Igor came over and he's like, "Elsa's arrived," and he's like, "Let it snow." And then what happened is this woman walks in, and all the monster hunters there, you know, they all look like they're monster hunters. They all look like they are down to some shit. They're up to some shit. They're down for some shit. Meanwhile, Elsa walks in and she just looks like normal lady in, you know, skinny jeans and a coat and some gloves. And then, mom from Memento, she shows up and she's like, "I don't know why you can't, you know, I hope, you know, you didn't feel any sense you had to come after 20 years of not talking. You're a huge disappointment." Yada, yada, yada.
Right. Here, Greg, it looks like the one person is mad that they didn't show up to the costume party dressed up. Cause like, mom is all head to toe dressed like like she's ready to do some satanic rituals. And her friend shows, she's like, "I told you to fucking dress up. Why don't you dress up? Like, for I just sure, got off of work. Sure. Like, you know, I was working at Wells Fargo."
And so Elsa's like, "Give me what's mine. And I, you know, I'll bounce." And she's like, "We don't know you fucking shit." And so then they all gather in there. And Memento mom, she walks over. She's like, "Thanks for coming. You know, Ulysses, he was a scamp." And then like, Elsa drags a chair to ruin the entire sweet moment. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
I love the line too.
A great little reaction shot when it like,
yeah,
the chair is moving and it like shows the mom just like really. I love the framing of that. It was so cool.
I love the line where she's like, "Don't be so easy on yourself. You're the biggest disappointment of his life." It's like, damn, y'all are just going for it.
Evil stepmother shit.
Yep.
And so she lays out the rules, right? Of like, "Hey, guess what? He had this, he's the best hunter. You're all great hunters. He had this, bloodstone and you're all going to vie for it. It should have been, Elsa's, but she sucked and walked away and gave up on everything. So now, you know, fuck that. It's up for grabs.
Choose a new leader in the crusade against monsters." It's like, oh shit. Damn.
Bloodborne is so cool, bro.
This is cooler than Bloodborne.
No, Bloodborne's way cooler. Are you kidding me? No. There's a virus going around. People are drinking blood so they can extend their lives. But guess what? They're turning into monsters. Everybody from around the world, come in here, join the hunt. Join the hunt, good hunter. Come on, baby. It's the coolest, man.
Anyways, so you're all, but he's got a penchant for theatrics, and Igor comes over, he cranks the casket open, and like the fucking body animates like a Chuck E. Cheese dude and starts talking about everything that's going on.
This homie decided that with his dead body, he wanted it to be turned into an animatronic. That is the dopest shit ever. When we saw this in the trailer, I was like, how were they going to pull off this tone? This is fucking weird. They did it. Like, that is that's an actual dead body. Like, I thought it was like some weird ass fake thing. I'm like, what? How are they going to explain this? They did it in the creepiest, dopest way possible.
And it's right here, Tim, that I see this imagery of this dead face. And I'm like, "Oh, Tim, you knew what you were doing when you asked me to watch this."
Dude, for real. I was watching it last night. I'm like, oh, fuck. I don't know about Eddie, man. I don't like this.
And so, like I said, now the rules are, of course, they're going to go. They've got a monster. It's unlike any monster you've ever seen. They're going to take the bloodstone. It's going red over here. They're going to jack into this dude's back. You know what I mean? Like a big old black hair. They're going to just shove it into his pore. And it's going to make him a little bit weaker, but it's also really going to make him mad. So he's going to be stomping out there cranky and hurt. And they're like, the first hunter, you know, that kills him and gets the bloodstone. Guess what? You're the new leader of the pack. And everybody gets, you get the bloodstone and it's chosen you. And that's how it'll be. And everybody will be super happy about it. And they're like, all right, cool. And she's like, guess what, though? No weapons of your choosing. We have hidden weapons throughout the garden, the sacred grounds, as she calls them.
I thought that was going to be a bigger thing, by the way, when they're like, yeah, they're going to find each weapon. And then they just the guy showed up with a big axe. I was like, oh, okay.
Maybe that's what one of the things where they cut out Blade. Maybe Blade was originally there going, hey, you want a sword?
You want this sweet sword?
Yeah, like a vendor. No, I don't have the gold for
it. What you buying?
I love that the plot of this shit is just straight up, it's Battle Royale. It's just like, yo, we're going to put a bunch of weapons out. You're just going to run and find them in this maze. It's like, okay, this is dope as hell.
Yeah,
I thought there would be more presentation around like, oh shit, there's the daggers. There's the, like, that kind of plot point was kind of pushed aside a little bit. And that's one thing I didn't enjoy. I was kind of hoping those would be a bit more integral to the actual adventures instead of just running into each other and in this very similar looking set.
And so one of the things I left out is that when she went around, she introduced everybody by their number of kills or whatever. And when she got to Jack, she said more than 100 deaths, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that was weird. Why did you say that?
Well, she didn't call him. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't know. I don't know. And I don't know where she's getting her facts.
I thought that was weird too.
I didn't understand how Jack was introduced, right? Like, how did he get in here?
I think it's because he's killed a bunch of people in werewolf form.
But she didn't know that, though. She didn't know he was a werewolf.
And that's my thing about Like, I thought, I knew she called it the fact that she said it different meant, I knew to me, meant something was different about it, but I didn't know. In retrospect, looking back at the film, I'm not sure how she had this information, how he proved this information, how he had his little, you know, membership card to the Hunter's Guild. Yes, Nick Scarpino.
Yeah, at first I was like, oh, he's the one they're going to hunt.
Yeah, me too.
Right? I'm like, that makes sense, right? He's there, and if he wins, he gets the Bloodstone or whatever, and that's how this whole thing is. It's like, it's fair, right? The monster can actually kill them, and if he gets it, he gets the power. But it's odd that they didn't set up at all that he took someone else's spot here somehow.
It made me think that they resurrect in some way. I thought that they, like, were Destiny Guardians, yeah. Greg, that, like, they've been fighting for so many centuries that they just, you know, every once in a while they die and they come back to life or whatever. So when she focused on taking 100 deaths, I thought that was an interesting little moment.
We don't know. Explain to us in the comments, everybody, if you have a better answer for what happens. But anyways, then they go through and they draw out of a skull, basically like their order, on like the Royal Rumble order. You know what I mean?
So cool.
You remember they used to do that at Royal Rumble?
Where they the, yeah, those little ball things. Yeah.
Anyways, Jack goes first. He wanders out there and they pull back and it's like this giant, you know, labyrinth or whatever from the, you know, obviously amazing Batman the Animated Series episode with the labyrinth and the Minotaur. Remember this, where they're playing the computer game? You know what I'm talking about. Anyways, they're all out there and they have to run around the sacred grounds, and you see in the background the shadow of the monster. You don't know what the monster is, but you know it's out there lumbering. And then we just get to follow for a little bit. We look around, you know, we're on different people's things. We're seeing what's going on. Yada, yada, yada. We follow Jack. He's kind of scared looking like this one. Eventually, right, Jack bumps into Elsa. And hold they
on,
have
real little... quick, before we get to this part, even just the intro into the labyrinth, I loved the tube of stuff on fire, and then I loved the, going back to what I was saying earlier about the sound kind of being such a motivator for this, like when he is sneaking around and like looking, you hear the tuba going off as each person's kind of entered in as it's their turn. Oh, that's cool. Like it's just in the distance, and it's just like the surround sound was super cool because it's like he's in this maze looking around, and every like 10 seconds you would hear kind of like the Royal Rumble gong going off, but it's the fucking flaming tuba.
I like this is just a ripoff of the Royal Rumble, and we've all agreed to that. I appreciate
that. We've all agreed.
Battle all Royal agreed, Rumble. Royale. Something. I don't know.
Joshy G in the live chat on Patreon says, maybe Jack called ahead and gave them his stats and worded it that way.
I mean, that would go a long way for me. I guess that's
there probably was a thing out in the paper that was like, are you a monster hunter? Call this number and tell us your stats. Maybe you can come hunt monsters. You know?
Yeah.
Anyways, though, Elsa and Jack bump into each other. There's this little standoff.
Ilsa Faust. That's all I thought about, Nick. Ilsa Faust.
Every time he says it.
Ilsa. Who's that from? What's that a reference to?
Mission Impossible. Good movie. You should watch it. Great series.
You wouldn't fucking.
Remember, you can't. Don't watch the one with Henry Cavill, because that's why he couldn't shave his mustache for the reshoots. That's,
you mean,
still
the best one? And
yeah.
It's fucking absolutely worth it for him. And we love Henry Cavill for it because he made the right choice.
Yeah.
You know who does the score for Mission Impossible?
Mm-hmm. The fucking GOAT, Michael Giacchino, baby!
Goat.
The John Go Williams Chino. Of our time. Yeah. Go to Chino.
Anyways, they bump into each other, and there's a standoff, and Jack doesn't want to fight pretty clearly, and he's like, I think we should just pass each other by. And Elsa's like, what? He's like, I think we should pass each other by. And she's like, what? And then Scottish guy comes out, and he's got a big old battle axe, and he swings it, and she pulls Jack out of the way, and she fights the Scottish guy, and they roll around. And eventually, you know, she gets up, and she gets the axe, and she starts running on top of the maze. We're like, that's a good move or whatever. Then, again, we jump around a little bit. We see everybody else kind of getting into some shenanigans and shakeups or whatever. But eventually, we're with Jack, and he turns a corner and presses himself against a hedge. And boom, Monster Claw reaches out and grabs him. And he grabs the hand, and he's like, oh, and he's super excited. We're like, what? And he starts talking to the monster, and he turns around and opens up a little thing. And it's Man Thing, but there they are talking. And Jack's like, I'm going to get you out, and this, that, and the other. And they have a whole conversation that we can't hear Man Thing's part of it. But he's going to get him out. And, you know, he's always here to get him out of jams. And, you know, just... start, you know, does it hurt too bad or anything like this? All right, I'm gonna figure this out. You know,
he's
you just
so
lay
cute
low.
Too.
Yeah, he is really cute. And so then we're back to it, and we're running around, we're doing stuff. And then this is where the arrow guy shows up with the wrist arrows, right? And he fights with Elsa, and then he gets it through the mouth, or she gets his hand cut off, and then he gets it through the mouth. And then she picks that thing back up, and then she gets locked in the crypt here, right? Yeah. And then Jack, he's out there, and then he's
where the big Scottish guy's like, he kind of comes walking. He's like, "Oh, there's my axe," and she's there hiding. They're like, "Shut the fuck up!"
Yeah, right.
Dude, and she like is covering his mouth as he's choking on his own blood because his throat was cut. Like, God, this is violent.
It was cool. It was cool.
And so then, yeah, Jack gets chased into the crypt, and he's in there now with Elsa. And she's like, "Don't let the door." You let the door close. We're locked in. Ah, fuck, whatever. And so, like, he kind of catches her up here, right? Of like, listen, you know, I'm not in it. I don't even want this thing. I'm trying to save this. Oh, you have a friendship with this thing? Yeah, I do. Oh, okay.
At us, two attractive people in the same spot. This is scary. They're so hot, both of them.
Did you ever watch the show she was on? That like, Homelander.
Mission Impossible.
No. Oh. She was on that Homeland Scottish show, right? No, not Homeland. Oh, Nevers. I'm sorry.
She is in the Nevers on HBO. She is in the Nevers. She's also Outlander.
Outlander, that's what I'm thinking. So I said Homelander, and you're like, stupid idiot. She was an Outlander. Totally.
First off,
sounds.
I didn't say shit because I've never heard of this, and I'm just on the IMDb. I'm not coming up with this shit off the top of the dome, all right? I'm trying to help you out.
Watch Mission Impossible.
I'd like to retract
that. Just fucking do it.
Throw that at Andy.
Thank you. Fuck you, Andy, you stupid asshole. You know what I mean? Next time you trip, you better hope there's not a cigarette lighter coming at the back of your head. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Anyways.
So he's falling, and the cigarette lighter is also being thrown at the back of his head.
Well, it's going to require something, because in my head, it was one of the ones you press into the car. You know what I mean? So it's like, we got to warm it up, and then Andy's got to trip and throw it the back of his head while he's down.
Okay. That's really dangerous. Yeah, that would suck.
A lot of problems there with the plan, but we'll figure it out. We're smart. We're in the thing. Yeah, I'm friends with him. His name's Ted. Cute moment, obviously. I like that quite a bit. So just talk to him if you run into him, blah, blah, blah. I think that might come in a second. Doesn't matter. He's like, we can stay here and die. Yeah, that's one plan, not my plan, but if, you know, we should figure out a plan. She's like, oh, wait a second. I remember hearing about my crazy aunt who was convinced she was going to come back from the dead. And if she was going to come back from the dead, she would need an escape plan. And she pulls out the keys after pulling out a whole bunch of bones.
Did y'all expect this? Because I definitely didn't. I did not expect her to punch into that thing and pull out body parts. Like, that was wild.
Yeah. It was great. I didn't see it coming, but it was great. So now it's divide and conquer. She gives him the little explosive thing, and she's like, all right, cool. You know, you're going to take two lefts and a right, and then you'll be at a wall, and there'll be a crack in it. You put this against the wall, and then that'll blow up, and that can be the exit strategy. I'll go try to find your friend Ted. And he's like, great.
I didn't love the explosive thing.
Yeah, no, this joke didn't work for me. Like, he activates it early, but it's not really activated, but it is activated. And so then he's running the whole time with it. And then we're just going to skip all this. He runs over there and he gets there and he throws it at the wall, but then it rolls back, but it doesn't stick, but it doesn't blow up. And then then finally it starts counting down and blows up. I was like, what are the rules of this thing?
It's just a little vague.
Yeah, I don't like that. But he blows a hole in the wall.
It was just a lot of like,
it was slapstick.
One of those sort of like fake sequences in Uncharted that like you can't really die unless like
sure.
It all just felt like kind of fake tension for tension's sake, you know.
Sure. Meanwhile, on the other side, Elsa had gone off. She had she came around and was sneaking up on the Scottish guy who's sneaking up on the shrubs where Man Thing was. And then she comes over and she says something, right? And then he turns around. He's like, ah. And then at the same time, Man Thing comes through the bushes and grabs him, and his power is just to melt this guy into fucking nothing. Like, ah, he's melting the guy in flames or whatever. It's fucking awesome. Then he turns, Man Thing turns his attention to Elsa and, you know, screeches or whatever. And then she's like, hi, Ted. he emotes to being like normal. She's like, you have a lovely name. Your friend sent me. I was like, oh, okay. And it's just fucking hilarious and funny. And so then they meet up at the blown up wall. Ted sees his chance and just books it through the hole. And Elsa shoots the little grappling hook thing into his back, pulls off the bloodstone. She then looks at Jack. They have a moment of levity that they've done it. Jack foolishly runs over to the bloodstone to grab it, and it knocks him back and sends off like a wave or whatever. Then all the other hunters show up along with Stepmom, and they're like, what the fuck happened? And they're like, the thing rejected him. And she's like, he's a monster then. And that's what happens. And then Elsa's like, I didn't know that bit. And then they zap Jack, and they zap Elsa.
Not TVA agents.
Yeah.
I was shocked. And so, Greg, I don't think you were with us when we did the reaction to this, but we saw the trailer, and like there was the what looked to be a hallway scene where like the door's closing and like he's fighting all of them. Like they very much looked like TVA agents with the
I can see
sticks,
that.
But they're not. And I thought, even them not being that, I thought it was really interesting to have them as a juxtaposition to the rest of the stuff being black and white, us not knowing exactly the time setting of all this. So it's like seeing these like dudes in these suits around the room and like with these like electric poker things. It was like it felt off from the beginning, which I thought was like really cool.
We then wake up in a big cage, a big old bird cage. Elsa and Jack are there. Jack wakes up. Elsa's already awake. Elsa's pushed up against the thing. Jack's like, listen, don't sweat it. I am a monster. It's part of me, but it's not me. And it does stuff that's not me. And it's not me. So I'm sorry, but it's not me. Don't worry about it. And guess what? I only turn on full moon nights, and we got 5 nights till the moon. So we got plenty of times to figure our way out of this one. Don't sweat it. And she's like, you moron. The bloodstone can make you transform in 5 seconds. And he's like, oh, that's real bad. That's real, real bad. And he's like, all right, promise me you won't break eye contact with me. And she's like, what? And then he starts sniffing her, and he's sniffing her all over. She's like, what are you doing? I have to remember you, and maybe I won't attack you. She's like, has it ever worked? And he goes, once.
That was cool. I loved it.
He was sniffing desperately. Yeah. Like, I believed this.
If you ever, when you guys, when you, next time you're around Ben, if you want to, go ahead and do this to him. He giggles real bit. He loves it. He thinks it's funny.
I was going to say, when we get into the new studio, Greg, I'd like you to sniff me.
Oh, sure. Okay, fair enough. Maybe I can make you giggle like he does. You know what I mean? Because he does this thing where he like slaps his hands together because he doesn't know what to do with his excitement. Anyways, Stifter, they all come in. They're all cloaked up, but we know who these fuckers are. They're the people from the other part, you know? And so they come in and they're like, you're a monster. And now you're going to fucking pay for being a monster. You hear? Hey, here, you see? Hey, Joe Pesci's there. He's like, yeah.
I was anyway. Like, is it Joe? Are you trying to do like the news? Hands, hey? Or are you just doing Joe Pesci from Lethal Weapon 2?
And so they, you know, stepmom takes off her mask and she's like, it's on like Donkey Kong. She takes out the bloodstone and she points it at him and he starts, and he's getting zapped and shit and he's transforming or whatever. Elsa isn't breaking eyeline with it though. And they do just a fucking amazing job here of camera work, right? Of the transformation of just like panning in on her and it's the flashes and the him, his bones cracking and him doing it, but it's just the silhouette that's being projected on the wall behind her. Like, so brilliant. I thought this was so well done in terms of coolness.
Incredible. Like, this looked so damn cool. It felt awesome, and I just feel like they sat in it just the right amount of time. And to follow it up immediately with the fight scene of the wolf just freaking destroying shit with the use of lighting and the music, oh, so sick.
So he transforms into the wolf, right? We don't get a good look at him, but then stepmom gets her hand bitten and she's like, she gets pulled up against the thing. But then they come in and they got their TVA tasers and they're tasing him away. And there's like, now there's like smoke starting to fill the thing or tear gas or whatever. And then like, there's a scuffle and a kafaw. And then we get a pan and the top of the cage is split open at the top. And Elsa's still in there, but Jack isn't. And then all the other hunters are there and they all take off their masks so we can see them and we know who they are when they get killed. And they start panning around the room. And this is where I was talking about. Yeah, the ripped off, you know, straight out of Batman v Superman. Y'all hated it there, but you love it here. Wolfman up on the wall, you know, looking down, and we get the so cool eyes. Then he just drops down and starts fucking people. You know what? It just drives me crazy, the amount of respect you have for a Wolfman and not a Batman, Andy. You know what I mean? Maybe you should look at a mirror once in a while. Anyways,
I wish the Wolfman hunted on that bitch-ass Batman.
He's hopping down. And he's, you know, some would argue maybe that's more of a Wolfman tactic than a Batman tactic. But we're not going to get into that right now. He hops down and he's fucking people up and he's ripping up necks and he's biting necks and people are still tasing him and he's like shaking off and he's fucking fighting them and doing this stuff. And then eventually Elsa gets out and she's doing shit and then everybody's there and then you got Elsa gets in a fight with the one crazy hunter who kind of looks like a vampire. She's got like very very sharp features or whatever and she's there into a sword fight over there at one point. It's like and then they put the sword in the ground and then she brings her neck and then she does this and like,
god,
and then she gets up and then she slams her head on it or whatever. Like, holy fucking shit, holy
incredible
shit.
Awesome. So that cool, man. Yeah, just did not expect to see this stuff at all. Yeah,
really awesome choreography. And I'm surprised Elsa's even alive because I remember in that first sequence when the big
I totally skipped when the Scottish guy brains her on a concrete fucking ledge.
And like I've seen Joel do that in The Last of Us. He just like crushes Clicker's head. It's like it was super violent to me. And for her to barely be scratched, that scene kind of bothered me. I was hoping like we'd see like a fuckload of cuts or something. But yeah, this whole sequence is awesome.
Incredible. And then of course, like we were talking about before, like there's the door closing and Wolfman goes over there and he's fighting a bunch of people and the door is slowly closing and we're losing our light source but we're still getting silhouettes and they're still tasing and doing the stuff and you know Wolfman's able to beat all their shit in and kills all them, but he's down there and he's wounded. And then Elsa, I forget what happened to the other hunter, but he's gone too. He's dead. He got killed. But and then Elsa walks over there and she's like, you know, Jack smelled me a lot, so hopefully this guy will be chill. You know what I mean? And so he pops up and he's not chilling. He pins her down. but she doesn't break eye contact. And then she got her hands up, you know, very defenseless or whatever. And then she reaches up and touches his face. And then he's like, okay, cool, you're cool. And he goes back to being in the corner or whatever and being a little wolfman. And then, oh, no, he doesn't actually. He runs out, right? He runs to the door. And I thought with the door slowly closing, it was going to be a bigger deal of them being trapped in there. Not that there was just a side exit that was unlocked.
It was like two other exits to this place.
One and like Wolfman just fucking knew. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, you have at it, Wolfman.
It was all just for imagery. It was cool as fuck.
Also, there was that one guy that was like, should I go under the door? Should I not go under the door? And you're like, roll under the fucking door. What are you doing? You're not going to beat this guy.
And yeah, if when the door came down, all it required them was just like push it back up. Like I wouldn't have cared. It was all worth it. This sequence is so sick.
And so Wolfman's free out in the wind and Elsa's there in the tunnel. And then Stepma shows up and she's got a boomstick and she's like, you were a disappointment and I hate you and everybody sucks and you're the worst and you ruined everything and da da da. And then Man-Thing crashes through the top of the glass dome and he grabs her and melts her down to nothing. And then he has a conversation with Elsa where they're just like, look at each other. He's like, whoa. He's like, whoa. And she's like, he went that way. And he just takes off. And he picks up a robe on the way because he knows that Jack's going to be naked when he finds him. And that was really funny.
It was really cute. I loved it.
And so Elsa walks out and she already had pocketed the bloodstone, right? She pulls the bloodstone back out and Igor comes over and he's like, I serve you. And she's like, great. You start by picking up all this shit. And then she sits down and then the color of the bloodstone radiates out to Judy Garland's Over the Rainbow and the color is returned to the world and we see her there lounging with the bloodstone and then we go through the woods and we find Man-Thing chilling with a French press cup of coffee.
Chilling, dude.
So fucking cool. And then Jack wakes up and comes out and takes the coffee and they sit there and they have a little conversation that's very cute about like, I'm always saving you. Yeah, you can have sushi. We can have sushi tonight. Yeah, you pick. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, and they like laugh and he asks if everything worked out with Elsa. And he's like, yeah, and it's a sweet little moment and everybody's happy. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the MCU special presentation, Werewolf by Night.
When was sushi invented?
This is where I was like, oh, this has got to be modern. Because the payphone, especially, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll Google it.
But I was just waiting for, this is where I thought you'd bring in a Captain America. And he'd be like, on your left. And they'd be like, Daredevil walks through barefoot in the background.
It's sushi apparently was first kind of made in the modern sense in 1824 in the Edo period.
Oh,
cool.
Shit.
Cool. Yeah, well, doesn't answer any questions.
It's haiku and review time, everybody. Seven syllables in the middle.
There's no haiku interview.
Five for the first and last line.
Andy, you didn't have to do the song.
Not poetic. It's too new. It's too new.
He's got it, dude. He has his own.
Don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku in review. Desaturation prevented us from seeing Gael's pretty eyes. That's my haiku, everybody.
Congratulations, Andy. Didn't have to rhyme.
Thank you. Didn't.
Nick, how are you doing? You in black and white right now.
I want to click my camera over, but I have to.
The studio launch is 1 week away.
I have to kill my camera to bring it back. Hold on, everybody. Be cool. Be cool. There you go. Now I'm back.
Oh, wow. Somewhere over the rainbow.
I like how he made such a big deal about it. I just did it. I was like, I don't fuck up the whole show. I don't care.
Well, I just don't want to mess up here. I don't know if Barrett's got a whole thing going on over here. It's
fun. Let's do Ragu Bagu.
Let's do it. Let's do Ragu Bagu, everybody. That's a sequence we got coming up here very soon, everyone. What's it called? It's called Ragu Bagu.
You know what that stands for, Andy?
Rad guys talk bad guys, Nick.
That's fun. It's one of those very, very, it's synonymous with fun.
Yeah, here we go. Ragu Bagu time, everybody.
Some would say our most popular interview segment of all time.
Ragu.
Bagu jams.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys, the podcast within a podcast where we rank all the villains of the MCU universe in one gigantic list that currently clocks in at 48 villains, unless I've misnumbered them. But no, it looks like I nailed it. 48 villains in the MCU. Today, we have to decide where we're putting the stepmom from Memento. Oof. Now, remember, the way we do it in the modern era, in the modern shenanigans of Ragu Bagu, is deciding first what tier she's in, and then we argue there. So you have S tier, A tier, B tier, C tier, D tier, F tier. I would lobby that she's an A tier villain.
Wow.
I hated her. I enjoyed the performance. Memento mom can do no wrong in terms of an actress. Her name, by the way, is Harriet Sampson Harris.
Yeah, she kind of brought the heat. And I feel like the having the hunters around, they were cool. The choreography of all that shit was awesome.
She put, she pit everybody though, against each other. She was kind of kooky. You know what I mean?
But I feel like I'm not going to ever really remember her or her things that well. So it's like, I don't think there's anything bad about it, but I would lobby more for a B than an A.
I would say B only because I don't think she was front and center enough. I think that she was really good in those small doses that we were able to see her just be a complete dickhead to her daughter. But I think it would have maybe been an A had this been a longer movie and we have those sequences where she is alone in a lot of sequences where maybe she's talking about her past or talk. Like, I just don't think we had enough of her to justify an A.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Nick, how do you feel about A versus B for Memento Stepmom?
Nick blue screened, so he's frozen. So
he's trying to make himself not black and white. That's why.
You gotta love it. He'll be right back in just a second. Oh, there he is.
We got him, everybody. Sorry. He's back.
What tier would you put the bad guys here?
What tier? I thought she was great. I love her. I mean, she's super ominous and really fucked up and just eating up scenery over there. I would put her in A, sure.
So A starts with He Who Remains and the TVA and Loki and ends with Gore in Thor, Love, and Thunder. B starts with Baconator from First Class and ends with Icarus and the Deviants in Eternals.
God, what a shit tier there. Icarus.
Where are we feeling already? What's the general
right now consensus? Andy and Tim have voted A. Or I'm sorry, voted B. I voted A.
I could see her at bottom A.
Bottom A, so under Gore.
Yeah. And I do think above Baconator.
No,
I do love Kevin, but you know what? I'm sorry.
What was Kevin Bacon's motivation?
He was just cool.
I agree awesome
with that, but Tim was talking about, like, I'm not going to remember what she was up to or whatever.
But we remember Kevin Bacon. We remember Kevin Bacon.
What was he up to? Yeah. What was he doing?
He wanted to kill all of the humans.
Nick, you're arguing for them right now. I'm asking you not to argue.
He's so much cooler, right, Nick?
He's so cool. You know what? Put him right below Kevin Bacon.
Below Kevin Bacon.
That's where I think it should be. Because above Pierce, so number 17 in tier B. There you go. That's Ragu Bagu. Now it's time to rank the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'm really interested in this because I don't even know. Who wants to start the rank? Actually, first, let me read them. Number one, currently, Endgame. 2, Infinity War. 3, No Way Home. 4, Homecoming. 5, Civil War. 6, Ragnarok. 7, Winter Soldier. 8, Guardians 2. 9, Loki. 10, WandaVision. 11, Avengers. 12, Guardians 1. 13, Shang-Chi. 14, Love and Thunder. 15, Iron Man. 16, Far From Home. 17, Black Panther. 18, Doctor Strange. 19, Multiverse of Madness. 20, Hawkeye. 21, Miss Marvel. 22, Falcon and Winter Soldier. 23, Captain Marvel. 24, Ant-Man and the Wasp. 25, Ant-Man. 26, Black Widow. 27, Iron Man 2. There sure are a lot of these guys. 28, Age of Ultron. 29, First Avenger. 30, Iron Man 3. 31, Eternals. 32, What If? 33, Moon Knight. 34, Hulk. 35, Thor. And 36, Thor, The Dark World. Who wants to start the rankings for Werewolf by Night?
I will.
Go for it.
And I'll step up to correct your guys' mistake from before, and I would put it at number 14th. Bump Love and Thunder down.
I am right there with you, Greg Miller. Number 14, under Shang-Chi, but over Thor, Love and Thunder.
I would put this right above Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, that's where I'm going, Andy. I was going to say Doctor Strange. Right above that. That's actually perfect.
At number 19.
Andy, you're perfect. Let's shake.
Thank
on
you.
It. Yep. Let's shake on it.
Oh, here. The other way.
Yeah, right the first time.
Go ahead, right there.
So there we go. Those are our votes. Me and Greg saying it's 14 above Love and Thunder, and Greg and Andy say it's 19 above Multiverse of Madness. Now, this is an unprecedented time in review history. Kevin Coelho has retired from being an official member of the MCU in review. So what we're going to do to solve these ties when they come up is we're going to go to Patreon, and we are going to put up a poll to allow you people
over
on patreon.com/kindoffunny to vote on where you think we should put this one, whether it is at number 14 above Love and Thunder or number 19 above Multiverse of Madness. Those will be the only two options. We're going to put that poll up. And then next time we come back for an MCU in review, we will give you the updated rankings of where this one falls, which will be in just a few short weeks when we return for She-Hulk in review. Greg Miller, what's up?
I lobby to change the rules on how this tie is broken.
Okay. What would you like
to do? I think we should walk out of these episodes with definitive answers. So it should be a poll for the people watching live on Patreon right now.
That works for me.
Otherwise, we're going to have two polls up. You got to vote to, you know, how you open up the thing. I like to incentivize people to be here to be part of the show.
Be here. Be part of it. Let's put up the poll right now, Greg. If you can do that.
I'm on it. Yeah, I'm on it. I'm on it. Well, but what, so the choice is what, 14?
I mean, people have jobs, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are at work. Doing
14
stuff.
Or 19?
So 14 above Love and Thunder or 19 above Multiverse of Madness. The ones in between that are, if you need to know, number 13 would be Shang-Chi. 14 is Love and Thunder, 15 Iron Man, 16 Far From Home, 17 Black Panther, 18 Doctor Strange, and 19 Multiverse of Madness.
The poll is out right now, ladies and gentlemen. The
poll is out.
Is it a 14 or a 19 right now? Early on, 67% of the votes say 19.
Things are 80%
looking. Of the votes say 19.
There we go. There we go. I just love it, man.
Damn good time.
It was a damn good time. I thought they did such a good job with it, and I feel like this is a great first step for what these special presentations could be, and I hope that we end up getting a lot more of them. There's been rumors that there are more that are in the works for next year that we haven't heard about yet.
That'd be a fun one.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they were saying that like they're not always going to be holiday-related, that it just happened to be that way for these first two, so it's interesting. I wonder what they're going to end up doing, but I think that we're going to get a Shang-Chi's sister.
Oh, cool.
Like, I imagine we'll get one about her and the Ten Rings. And then potentially Okoye solo thing. But we'll see.
86% of the vote seems to have solidified that it is a 19. It's a number 19.
It has been solidified that Andy and Nick win. And we're putting it at number 19.
Thanks for nothing, chat.
Underneath Doctor Strange 1 and above Doctor Strange 2.
You know, this was a good test, but I think we should go back. We should go back to what it was before. Yeah, you're right the first time, Tim.
No, there we go. So the new rankings, you know them. You love them. What a great time for everybody. Like I said, we're not going to be back next week for interview because we are launching the Spare Bedroom, the new Kind of Funny Studios. We hope that you guys will all come hang out with us on Friday, October 14th, all day long as we break in the new stew. But we'll be back the week after that.
I love that. In review.
That was for you, Nick. That was directly for you.
That's what it's called now.
Stew it up. Let's make some stew.
Stew it up, everybody. Let us know in the comments below what you thought of Werewolf by Night. Everyone, send some sweet, nasty love to the GOAT, Michael Giacchino, because damn, he's out there. And now he's a double threat. You know what I mean? It's not just it's not just music. He's making visual art. And God, I want every single bit of it. But until next time, have a marvelous day.